Joining us now on the line, a man with a spiffy new contract.
Hey.
He's Carolina Hurricanes coach Bill Peters, and he joins us now on the Merrick versus Wyshynski podcast. Bill, it's me, Greg. Jeff's over there. Congratulations on the new deal.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
It's a pleasure to have you on, and I'm curious what someone in your situation, because we talked about this, you know, ad infinitum last year, the work you did specifically with the blue line, the improvement in the neutral zone play with the Carolina Hurricanes. What do you do for a follow-up act, Bill? Like, what are you working on with this summer for the team?
Well, you know what? We're going to make a small change in the neutral zone, try and get a little more aggressive in certain situations. We got some ideas on how we can score more. And really, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to let our young guys evolve. Our young D, I think, are going to take a step. I don't expect them to take a huge step. I want to be realistic with that. But now things are going to slow down for them a little bit. So plays that they might not have seen last year, they're going to be able to see. And plays that they were just short of making, I think they're going to make. And our forwards are going to continue to get better. The Victor Rask, the Elias Lindholms of the world. I thought Jeff Skinner had a good year. If he stays healthy again, he'll have another good season. And I'm excited about Tara Vinen coming into our lineup. And also, I think Aho's going to make our team. I've been on the ice with him at a development camp 2 years ago. I coached against him in the World Championships. I have a pretty good idea what he's all about. So I think he's a guy who's going to help us. And then obviously we got better with Stempniak and Bickle and Stallberg also.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, can I pause on one thing you said there I'm curious about, Bill, and that's, you know, we're working on ways to improve scoring. There used to be, and it seems as if this is changing, Bill, there used to be a vibe, there used to be a feeling that you can't teach touch, that scoring is something you either had or you didn't have as a player. Are you in the camp that says that's not true, and yes, you can teach scoring?
Well, you've got to work on it. I think you can teach it to a certain degree. I don't think you can just say, you know, you are what you are when you arrive at the rank. Either you're a 10-goal scorer or 15-goal scorer. You got to continue to work on it. You look at every other sport, and it's guys are up and down a little bit in certain skill sets. You know, guys driving a golf ball all of a sudden struggle with the putter, then they get the putter straightened out, and then away they go. And, you know, baseball players are no different. All of a sudden they're hitting for average, and then power comes, and you know, the next year maybe the power numbers are down, but the average stays up. I think you have to work on it. You can't just stick your head in the sand and say, you know, this is what we are. We're only going to generate 215 goals or whatever the number is. We've got to find ways to generate. We know what they are. The two biggest things that we're talking about as a staff is the power play, number one, and net front presence on all four lines on a consistent basis. And for me, as a player, when it's your turn to be at the front of the net, you got to take your turn. It doesn't matter who you are.
I was going to ask you about that, actually, but when it comes to goal scoring, like, is part of that maturation as a goal scorer, you know, if you know you're not just a 10-goal guy, you could be a 20-goal guy. Is it approaching how you score goals differently? Is it going to places on the ice where you're not necessarily going and then trying to see if you could be that player, be that net front guy?
Well, you know what? And when I say net front guy, I'm not talking about a guy who just gets there and plants, you know, like in yesteryear. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when it's your turn to be the middle driver and go to the net, stop net front, make sure you're doing that, make sure you're opening up ice for others. The biggest thing that you can work on your skill set, too, is your release. It's got to get on and off the stick quicker on most situations. The times that you spend stick handling the puck, you're basically dead end in the play. So you got to receive it, you got to shoot it, and you got to also have the maturity and the hockey sense to shoot to create rebounds. People hate hearing it, but there's certain times and locations on the ice when you're shooting, you're scoring. So you better generate a rebound for the guys going in the net and for a second and third opportunity. It's the ones when you're on a sharp angle, low, wide, outside the dots, and you're trying to score a short side shelf, and you miss the net and you rim it out, and then you're back checking. Those are the ones that drive the coach crazy and the line mates.
Can I ask you about sticks, Bill? You said something interesting again, no surprise. One thing that we've noticed about sticks, you know, all over hockey now, maybe just because of factory manufacturing, is that everybody uses a high lie. Like, the art of the lie seems to be gone. But are you a coach that's, and some coaches have been, some aren't, are you a coach that's sensitive to the type of stick that a certain player is using? Like, if you're a goal scorer, you should be using this type of stick, this type of blade, this type of curve, this type of lie. Are you a coach that takes an active interest in the actual sticks that players are using?
No, just because I wouldn't have any credibility in that regard. But I do believe in the technology that exists in the sticks. It's unbelievable. When you get a stick, you know, that works for you and fitted for you, you're well on your way. So I'll look at patterns. I'll look at some things. I'll talk to guys quickly, very quickly, briefly about sticks, but I'm not going to get involved with that. But I just know with kick points and everything else and flex that you can let the stick do the work. And I do believe most guys have a stick that's too stiff, no question. And I think what's happening now is you got to get your shot away so quick that you got to use the stick that you can load up naturally just by letting the natural whip of the shaft do the work instead of the big long wind up on the wrist shot.
So in your summertime, you know, at a barbecue, maybe you're jotting some things down on a napkin. Where do you see Teravainen slotting in?
Well, I know exactly where I see Teravainen slotting in. I've got Aho, Teravainen, and Lindholm on a line. Now, where they go, I don't know. Lindy played a little bit of center for us last year at the end of the year and was very good and got better as he went. Teravainen was very successful playing the off wing in Chicago as a right winger, has some ability to play center. I think that's going to be a line, and what happens then if Teravainen and Lindy are together, one guy can take faceoffs on the right side in the D-zone and the other guy the left side in the D-zone, and all three are responsible defensively. Not that I've given that line any thought, but I think it's going to be a real good line for us.
Didn't, now correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Aho play center at the World Juniors as well? Isn't he, like, aren't you, isn't that a three centerman line?
You're 100% bang on, and then if they're really into it, and then whoever gets back first, just play down low and let that guy play down low and fill slots. And if we can get to that point, and then all four lines can play hockey that way, we'll have some.
Here's why I find that really interesting. Are you seeing this as more of a thing in pro hockey right now? Once upon a time, it was, you know, the centerman's responsibility to carry the puck over the blue line. The centerman was the most creative. But now, more so than ever, maybe it's a function of centerman being moved over to the wall, we're seeing more wingers as the creative element on a line. You know, it's the winger that does the zone entry. It's the winger that sets up. You know, that playmaking winger seems to be more of a thing. Pat Kane is obviously the touch point for all of it. The playmaking winger seems to be more of a thing in the NHL, Bill, than ever before.
For sure it is. And two guys that jump out, and you mentioned one in Kane, and the other one's Jonathan Drouin. Jonathan Drouin, to me, makes tons of plays, and he's more of a playmaker than he is a finisher as a winger. The game just continues to evolve. Like, everything, it's so hard to score. So, you know, it used to be a center's job to get the puck to the wingers. But the game's so fast now that I think once you line up, you're standing in a position. But once the game starts, you just play. Like, if you're the center, and everyone says the center's got to play down low, 3-on-3. But if he's the last guy back in the zone, obviously a winger's got to fill in for him. So in my books, you're looking for smart guys who can just read and react off each other and fill holes and have versatility. But you definitely see more playmaking coming off the walls and the wings than you ever have.
So your goaltending didn't set the world on fire last year. And it's Cam Ward and Eddie Lack back again this year, with Cam Ward getting a new contract. Where are you on that? What was your thought in not trying to make a change there and going with the same duo that we had previously?
Well, you know what? I like the two goaltenders we have. We got to play better in front of them. Numbers aren't perfect, but some of the breakdowns we had weren't perfect either. So even in the games when we're, you know, out shooting a team 40-20, all of a sudden the breakdown that we do make or the decision we make in the neutral zone is just huge. And that's part of being young. So, you know what I mean? Like, the quantity of the shot was good. The quality of the shot, in my opinion, a little bit too high. We can tighten up our D-zone play, be a little more efficient there so we don't spend as much time there. And at the end of the day, they're going to be better just because we're going to be better. Eddie's going to be more comfortable being in year two of our organization. I know he got engaged this off season, so he's, you know, taking steps away from the rink and he's going to be dialed in. So I'm not worried about that one bit.
All right, goalies, whatever. I want to ask you about Worlds. What was your experience like coaching a Canadian All-Star team at Worlds?
No, it was fantastic. Anytime you can represent your country, you got to do it. You know, I was talking about the other day, 2 years ago, we had Sidney Crosby and everybody else on that team, and this year it's Connor McDavid and the gang. So, unbelievable group of young guys. I give Duchesne, Hall, and O'Reilly a ton of credit for bringing that team together right away. It was a very tight-knit group, a young group, and a group that got better as we went along in the tournament. A lot of fun.
Is there ever a moment with that team? Like, is there a few days of really trying to have to work hard to figure out where the pieces fit and where the guys feel comfortable? Or does it kind of, is it just sort of a thing where all these guys have been on these all-star type teams before and kind of know their roles? Or do you have to ever do any heavy lifting and say, okay, I know you're a top line 22 minute a night guy in the NHL, but here you're not going to be that.
Well, I think everyone goes into that well aware that their minutes aren't going to be the same they are in the NHL. Like, you look at a guy like O'Reilly, led the NHL in forwards, I believe, close to 20 minutes a night, and they're all used to being in that 18, 19 minute a night range, and that's just not possible with the amount of talent we have in our country. And especially in international hockey, you dress 13 and 7, so all of a sudden now you've got your 7th D-man, you're trying to get him ice time, and your 13th forward, and it's tough. It's tough for the players, and it's not easy for the coach. But we were so fortunate here, my 2 years involved, that we've had just unbelievably mature, team-first type guys, and that's a credit to the general managers who put those teams together. So it's different. It poses some different challenges, but if you communicate with them and you're honest with them, they understand and they know exactly where you're coming from. They might not love it, but they at least know. You got to communicate with your players for sure.
It's always tough not to watch Connor McDavid out there, but the one player that I kept coming back to when I watched your World Championship team, Bill, and I've been banging his drum for a long time, and I think people are really starting to warm up to how really solid a defenseman this guy is. My eyes kept going back to Ryan Ellis, Nashville Predators defenseman, one of the more underrated guys in the NHL. What was the coach's thoughts on Ryan Ellis, the Worlds?
Well, outstanding, outstanding. What a commitment he made to come over. You know what? He was great for us. I've had Ellie twice. I had him on the under-18 team. He was fantastic there, unbelievable on the power play. I had him again in this tournament. And just to tell you how good a guy he is, too, I don't remember who we were playing, but it's game day. He flies over, gets there. We stick him in the lineup. And you can only imagine how you feel after that flight and everything else that's been going on in his life. He just goes right in the lineup and plays. And then probably the biggest goal, one of the biggest goals of our tournament, was the game winner against the U.S. in the semifinal, the 4-3, and it was a Ryan Ellis bomb coming down the right side, caught thing on a bad change. So he was huge for us.
That's awesome. All right, last one for me, Bill. What do you have to see from this Carolina team, outside of other teams obviously ahead of you dropping down the standings a bit? What do you need to see from this team in order for it to be a playoff team this year?
You know what? We've got to get off to a good start. We haven't done that in my 2 years, so I've got to find a way to make sure we get off to a good start. And our specialty teams have to be dialed in right off the hop coming out of training camp. Those are two things that, you know, we know that has to happen. And we can't go on extended negative losing streaks. We've got to find ways to get points. So those games when you're trailing with 10 minutes to go and you get a power play, you got to find a way to get it tied. Then you got a point, and if you get a point, the extra point, in overtime or shootout, there you go. So, you know, when you go from getting – looks like you're not going to get a point to getting two. That's the big difference. And then the head-to-head matchups with our, you know, the teams that we're going to be competing with. I think it's probably four teams in the East that you can kind of pencil in the playoffs. And after that, I believe it's wide open. So we've got to make sure we do a good job against those other teams and make sure we don't have extended losing streaks.
Bill, last one here, and we thank you for your time today, and congratulations on the contract extension. Eric Tulsky is someone I have a lot of time for, head of your analytics department as well. I know for some teams there are a lot of barriers between the analytics department and the coach. Like the information, it takes a while to get there. You got to go to the AGM, the AGM goes to the assistant coaches, then the assistant coach presents it to the coach. How does the dynamic between the analytics department and the head coach work in Carolina?
No, it's real easy. I think his extension is 3614. I call him, I ask him to come down into the war room. And then when it's time to get back to work and we're done with him, I kick him out because he'll stay down there all day. So I kick him out and I say, hey, we got to go to work. We practice here at 11, so you got to leave. But when we get off the ice, I like this project. And then I give him projects, but he kind of scoffs at them because they're so simple-minded. He likes the big, long, elaborate ones. But I like the information, and he gives us real good information.
There you go.
That's great stuff. Bill, thanks as always for stopping by, and we mean sincerely. Congratulations on the contract. One of our favorite teams is always to watch, and you're a big part of it, Carolina Hurricanes. Thanks, Bill.
Okay, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day.